musical now. We'll call the kids back up for communion a little later. And open your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 12. We've got to the end of Daniel. This is our 13th and last sermon on Daniel. I've enjoyed it. And I'm also going to enjoy preaching from the Gospel of Luke from next week. So we're going back to Luke, back to the Gospels in our lead up to Christmas time. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So please have your Bibles open at Daniel chapter 12. Who remembers sports days back at school? Weren't they the best days, sports day? Because the whole day you were out of the class. You got to wear your coloured t-shirt, your ribbons. I remember very clearly the sights and the sounds, the smells even. Every year, the man who started the race was Mr. Donati. He was the year three teacher, and he had his cap gun that he brought out once a year. I remember the smell of those caps and the sound of the gun going off and the kids running down the track. We ran in bare feet, so I remember the feel of the grass beneath our feet. And I remember the highlight was definitely the running races. And I remember once you'd passed the line, that a teacher or a parent would come up to you and they'd give you a ribbon or something to indicate what position you'd come in the race. And for me, that's the first I knew as to where I'd come in the race. I didn't know where I came in the race until the teacher would come up and say, "Here's your ribbon." And the reason I didn't know is because Mum and Dad had this theory that when you run in a sprinting race, that you, instead of running to the line, and maybe other parents advise their children the same, instead of running to the line, run past the line. So they always said, pretend the finishing line is 10 or 15 metres past the actual finishing line and run to that point so that you don't slow down, so you don't get complacent, so that you are finishing the race with maximum effort. Did anyone else get similar advice? No? Okay. Johnny did. Good. You and me, Johnny. All right. So what we are going to see today in Daniel, what we're going to see today is that this is what our Heavenly Father is telling us. He's telling us that in this race of life, that we are to run past the finishing line. We're to run and cross the line with maximum effort. And we're going to see that towards the end of Daniel chapter 12. And David was right. This really is the joyful and uplifting highlight of the book of Daniel. Doesn't mean there's not some hard things, but it is really the uplifting highlight. Let's pray. Father, as we run this race, it is hard and we get tired, we get distracted, and sometimes we want to give up. And we pray, Father, that you'll speak to us by your word this morning and that we will hear your encouraging words to run not just to the line but beyond the finishing line with full joyful effort. Amen. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. And now Daniel, as we will see, is taking us beyond the last days. He's been talking a lot about the last days, hasn't he? The last days in which we live right now. Now he's taking us beyond the last days to the last day. And at that time, Michael, the great prince, the archangel, if you like, who protects your people, will arise. And this reminds us that God does protect his people with his angels. The idea of the guardian angel, I think, has been much abused. But it is true that God protects his people with the hands and with the shields of his angels. And at that time, there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. So again, Daniel is now taking us not to the period we are living in right now, the last days, but to that final day. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where we see another beautiful description of this. Awesome description. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels, Michael will be there, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. And so Daniel is taking us to that final glorious day when the trumpet blast will sound, the angels will come, and our Lord Jesus will descend from heaven. It's described in Daniel chapter 7 as well, the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory. Time will end. The history of this world as we know it will end. And there will be a time of judgment. And this is what Daniel now describes. At that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Now, this book in which the names of God's people are written is described in many places in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New. One of my favorite occurrences of that is in Luke chapter 20, where Jesus sends out the 72 to take out the gospel, and he gives them power to drive out demons and to heal diseases. And you remember what happened? They came back to Jesus and they were so excited. They were so thrilled, and they came back to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, even the demons submit to your name. When we drive out demons in your name, they submit." And they were so thrilled, and Jesus was overjoyed as well. But he said to them, "Don't rejoice that the demons submit to my name, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of heaven." That's something even greater to rejoice in, that your names are written in the book of heaven. There's a man in our church who has a book, and in that book there are many names, many of your names, and many names of family members and others, and it is a book of love, because this man goes through those names and he prays for those people by name. Wonderful, isn't it, to be written in such a book of love, where someone loves you, is thinking of you, is praying for you. And Daniel says that if you are one of God's children, and if you have repented of your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you are God's son or God's daughter. And you are written in the book of heaven. You're written, your name is written in the book of life. And so Daniel says to you, who are in Christ, that great and awesome day when Christ returns, the trumpet sounds, and the angels come, and Jesus comes on the clouds of glory, that's not a day to be frightened of. That's a day to look forward to with joyful anticipation, because your name is already in the book of life. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, Daniel says. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. And this reminds us, it's so important. We've all visited the old cemeteries, and you can tell when someone poor has died, because there's often just a simple piece of wood with three letters. What are those three letters? R.I.P. It's the poorest gravestone you can imagine. They can only afford to have three letters written on it. Rest in peace, R.I.P. You don't see it so much anymore. But this reminds us that no body will remain in the ground. Everyone will be raised. Every person who has ever lived, their body will rise from the grave. And if their body has been cremated, that is not too hard for God. Their body too will be reassembled Everybody will be reunited with its soul to appear before God. And that doesn't matter whether you are a Buddhist. It doesn't matter whether you are a Hindu. It doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim. It doesn't matter whether you're not sure about religion. It doesn't matter whether you're an atheist. You will rise from the grave. Every one of you will rise from the grave and appear before God. You might not believe in God. That doesn't make him go away. You will appear before him, and some will go to everlasting contempt, and others will go to everlasting life, those whose names are written in the book. And in verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, when I first read that, I thought, oh no, oh dear. The wise will shine like the stars in heaven after this final judgment, and I'm not. And that compelled me to look more carefully at this passage and this word even. Who are these? What's this word wise? Who are these people? And as I study this word wise, I see that it's been used in Daniel before to describe people who are not intelligent as such, or not intellectual, but those who have looked at what God has revealed and have sought for understanding. That's what that word wise means in the book of Daniel. In the Old Testament, it's a very common word, and it's a word used for those who strive to look and to understand what God has revealed. And so that cheers me. I might not be wise, but I do long to know what my Father has said, and I read his word, and I study it, and I want to know it. And that's a sign, you see. That's a sign that you belong to God, that you're his son, you're his daughter. Really, let me just say, if you don't care about God's word, if you're not wanting to open it and to read it and to understand it, that's not a good sign, is it? It's not a good sign. That's not a good sign that God is your Father. Because if he's your Father, you want to hear his voice. You want to hear his words. You want to study them. And if you find that hard to open the Word of God and to study it, please, please ask for help. Send me an email. Send me a text message. Help! !! And I'll know what you're talking about, and I will help you. Or I'll put you in touch with someone who will help you. Let's do this together. But let's get back to what Daniel's saying here. He's saying that those whose names are written in the book, those who have sought to hear and understand their Father's voice, those who belong to Jesus Christ, in other words, that their ending is a glorious one. Instead of going to everlasting contempt, they will shine in the heavens like the stars forever and ever. Now, in Hollywood, they have the so-called Walk of Fame, the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And if you've been a big star, they put a star, a literal star, in the Walk of Fame with your name in it to show what a star you are. Now, let me read to you some of the names on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You ready? Nelson Eddy. King Bagot. Nita Naldi. Vera Vague. I'm not getting any. Oh, it's my favourite you just mentioned. They're forgotten already. These were big stars. Not anyone that gets their name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Utterly forgotten. Now, I want to know, where do you want your name to appear? On the Hollywood Walk of Fame, or the Hollywood Walk of Forgotten People, Discarded People, as it's going to be called one day, or a star in heaven shining like a star, because you are God's son, you're God's daughter. And look at the beautiful thing that Daniel says there. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And I'm thinking of the dads who've discipled their children. I'm thinking of the mums who are at home with their little ones day after day after day, and it's lonely. And I'm thinking of those who are praying for their friends, praying for their work colleagues, looking for those conversations. I'm thinking of those who were able to give time to lead youth group and Bible study, to disciple another. Daniel is saying this beautiful thing, that they will be the stars. Not these forgotten Hollywood people. They will be the stars in God's kingdom, shining forever and ever. Verse 4, but Daniel close up and seal the words of the scroll until the end, the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. What's being said here? Daniel, this last day, it's not just yet. Seal it up. Seal up this prophecy. It will be opened at just the right time. So, that's the first thing that our Father is saying to us. The last day is coming. The second thing he says to us here is that the last day is coming soon. Look at verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. This takes us back to chapter 10. Remember, he's standing by the Tigris River. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Who is the man in linen above the river? Back in chapter 10, with the golden sash and the eyes blazing like fire, the arms and legs of burnished bronze, who is it? It's our Lord Jesus. We can see him again now standing above the river. What's the significance of that, that he's standing above the river? Well, it reminds us that our Lord Jesus is not a part of creation. He is the Creator. He's not under the direction of creation. He is the one who directs creation. And that, by the way, gives, I think, new significance to Jesus in the gospel walking on the water. By doing that, he was saying so many things, but one of the things he was saying is, I am the one that Daniel saw in chapter 12. The one standing above the water, the one standing above the river. So, the angels, or these two beings, call out to Jesus, who is standing above the river, and they say, how long before these astonishing things come about? How long until that last day comes? How long, Jesus, until you return on the clouds of heaven and your people are raised to shine like stars forever and ever? How long? And the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. How long until the last day? Well, our Lord Jesus does not give us the day and the hour quite deliberately. But what's the significance of a time, times, which could also mean two times, and half a time? That adds up to 3.5. That's a very common number, isn't it? In the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, 3.5. If 7 is the number of completeness, 3.5, what is Jesus saying? The last days will come sooner than what you think. It will be soon. You should be on the edge of your seats. Don't think of it as being delayed forever and ever and ever. It will be, think of 7, a complete time, it's half that. It's soon that these things will come about. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken. In other words, when the church seems to be at its final, breathing its final breath or taking its final gasp, when God's people are at the end of their tether, when they're not sure if they can go on any longer, Christ will come, and it will be sooner than what you think. So that's the second thing our Father is saying to us. The last day is coming. The last day is coming soon. The third thing he is saying to us is this: until then, I am purifying you. Verse 8. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this? And he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the end of time, until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Do you hear what our Father's saying here? Our question to him is, how long, Father, until these last days, these hard days, these horrible days, how long until they're ended? And he's saying they will end, and they will end soon. But there's a reason for the delay. And the reason is this: I am purifying you. I'm making you spotless. I am refining you. And this tells us that this time we're living in now, these last days, are a time where our Father is purifying his church. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 1, to passages that we should know well. James chapter 1. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this time, this hard time, Peter says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So in these last days, which are hard days, our Father is encouraging by saying that there is a purpose for this, and the purpose is to refine you, to purify you. Now, we know that if someone has cancer, that the treatment is never, ever pleasant, is it? Chemotherapy, radiotherapy, surgery, none of these things are pleasant. If someone has a decayed tooth, who is saying, fantastic, I get to go to the dentist? It's horrible. There's needles. There's drills. My palms are sweating right now. Just thinking about that. And, you know, sorry, Valerie, but it's not nice. I'm sure you know that. And if you've got, like me, an extra donut, then getting rid of that, it's not a pleasant process, is it? It's hard to modify your diet and to do more exercise. These things are hard. In other words, to remove cancer, tooth decay, excess weight, it's hard. Nothing pleasant about it. And the Bible is saying that our Father, who loves us very much. He wants us to be pure. He wants to make us holy. He wants to remove the cancer of sin. He wants to remove the decay of rebellion. He wants this out of us, but it's not pleasant. And we know for a fact, don't we, that when things are easy, when the bank account is healthy and there's food in the fridge and the kids are all happy and everything seems to be cruisy, then what do? We relax, we indulge. Jesus who? We start to forget our Lord. We start to forget our need for him. We start to neglect listening to our Father, praying to him. We neglect meeting with God's people. When things are easy, we get complacent. What our Father knows is that to remove our sin, to make us holy, it's hard. And he does it through trials. What trials are you going through now? What trials is your Father putting you through now? Is it a grief? Is it a period of loneliness? Is there physical pain? Are there troubles? Troubles in your family? Troubles at work? Worries? These are horrible things, painful things. But our Father is saying to us in Daniel chapter 12, these have a purpose, and these are to purify you, to remove the spots, to refine you, to make you more like Jesus. Now, I hope, and I prayed that this morning downstairs. I prayed that it's very easy for the preacher to get up and say, oh, well, all your troubles, well, God's purifying you. Don't worry. Easy for me to say. Very, very hard for you to endure, hour by hour. And so we need to help each other, don't we? If you see your brother or sister lonely, in pain, suffering, in need, going through troubles, should we stand back and say, God's purifying you? You'll be fine. God's purifying you. No, we get alongside. We love them. We bring support. We bring help. We don't stand back with our correct theology. We get involved and help and love. The final thing that our Father is saying to us in this chapter, the last day is coming. It is coming soon. Until then, he is purifying us. The last thing he says is, keep going. Keep going. Verse 11, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. In other words, the 1,290, checked it on my calculator, it's that same magic number, 3.5. 3.5 years it adds up to, or very close to. And so it is saying that the last days will be this short time, relatively short time. It's half of 7. It's half of that complete number. It's a short time. So when those two beings call out to Jesus and say, how long? He replies again, 1,290 days, 3.5. It's short. But listen to this, verse 12. Listen to this. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. Gosh, what does that mean? Well, I believe it means this. It's the 3.5 plus 45. It's our Father saying to us, don't just run to the line, run past the line, run past that day. Keep going with maximum effort, maximum joy. Don't give up. Don't slow down. Because I remember, and you might remember too, in those running races at school, what did you always see? You always saw one kid who was running, but he's looking around. Mum, Dad, you know, friends, and he's looking around, he's looking at the other runners. Where does he come in the race? Always about at the end, that kid who's distracted. And we could be distracted, right? We are distracted. There's the finishing line. And there are all kinds of things that distract us from running and finishing the race. All kinds of pleasures, worldly joys, good things, a career, education, marriage, family, friends. Things that are good in themselves can become distractions in the race. And so our Father's saying, run hard, not just to the line, but past the line. And there was always that poor kid on the race who tripped and fell. Remember that one? Or that girl that tripped and fell? And you felt so sorry for them because they were embarrassed. And maybe mum or dad ran onto the thing and helped them because they'd be embarrassed and on the verge of tears and then have to come off the racetrack. And we see people trip and fall. They're running the race in the last days. But there is that sin, that temptation that they succumb to. And they trip and they fall. And they fall out of the race. And we see people fall out of the race, don't we? It's horrible. It's painful. But our Father's saying, keep going. Run past the line. There were the kids who got exhausted in the race. You see that in the 400 metres, the 800 metre race. They fly off from the starting line. Bang, the gun goes. And they fly. And you think, my goodness, they're going to thrash everyone. And then halfway around, they're heaving with exhaustion. And they have to give up. And our Father's saying, this is hard. The last days are hard. The time you're living in is hard. And you will be tempted. You'll get tired and you'll want to stop. You want to give up. Keep going, he's saying. Keep going. Keep running. Run past the line. And finally, there were those kids who, while they were running, and they were winning the race, and as the finishing line approaches, what do? They slow down. They slow down and others win the race instead of them. They slow down because they're complacent. And so our Father is saying, are you complacent? These last days, they're hard days. The race is long. It's painful. Don't get complacent. Keep pushing ahead. Keep running past the finishing line. I'll finish with the words of the book of Hebrews as we think about what Daniel has told us today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And I want to encourage you, finally, I put this picture. I know it's grainy, but I love this picture. Isn't there something just delightful about this picture? I think it's from the 1920 Olympics. I don't know much about it. I think it's an American runner. I know he won. I know he got the gold medal. But I'm thinking, as I look at this picture, there might be many of us who look as though they're getting old, the body is failing, the mind is even failing. And from the earthly perspective, we will see many of God's children, it will look as though they are just getting crippled and living more and more in pain, and their mind is starting to fade, and it looks to us as though they're sort of been carried across the line in a stretcher, across the finishing line. That's what it looks like from the earthly perspective. But from the heavenly perspective, that's what it is, brothers and sisters. That's what it is. If you are God's child, then although the body might be falling apart and your world might be falling apart, even your mind might be falling apart, what God sees when you die is that. That glorious finish. Your soul running across the finishing line with great joy and gladness and happiness. Your family's looking at a body that is wasted away and fallen to pieces. God sees that. The joyful finish. Because it doesn't matter, does it, in what condition our bodies are. It doesn't matter what condition our homes are in, our finances are in. It doesn't matter even what condition our mind is in. If we are with Christ, then there is that glorious finish, that happy finish. So let's run the race and fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus. Thanks. I'll ask our musicians to come up and then we'll come to the Lord's table together.